We're going to be in Luke 11 and Ephesians 6. Luke 11 and Ephesians 6. So you can go ahead and be finding your place there. So we have been looking at sort of a different outlook, looking at spiritual warfare from a different angle than we have before. And as I have told you each week, you are in a war. We are in a war, and I'm praying that you will sense the reality of that as we gather around the Word again this morning. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked at three battlegrounds and three enemies of our soul. The first, the three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then last week, the three battlegrounds are spirit, soul, and body. Now I want to begin this morning as I'm going to talk to you today about light. About light and warfare. We'll get to the scripture in a few moments if you'll hold your place in Luke chapter 11. Light and warfare. I want to take you back. We're not going to turn there, but I want to take you back to the very beginning as revealed to us in the book of Genesis by the Word and by the Spirit of God. That when God created, the Bible says that before He created anything else, He created light. He said, "Let there be light." That was the first word of the Lord that said, "Let something come into existence." Let there be light, and there was light. He did not, I want you to notice, He did not say, "Let there be land first." He did not say, "Let there be galaxies, let there be stars, let there be universes, let there be humans, let there be plants." He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is amazing when you begin to look that the Spirit of God is trying to teach us something in every chapter and every verse of the Bible. Because before He ever created the things that give us natural light, before He ever put the sun to shine in the sky, before He ever created the stars, the galaxies, the universe, the moon, those things that we say give us light, before that day ever came, He first said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. Light is the very essence. Listen closely, because it is a spiritual thing. Light is the very essence of the truth of God. The truth of His existence, His presence is marked by light. If we were to encounter the manifest presence of God this morning, the room would be filled with such light that you could not open your eyes and look upon it. But all the way through the Bible, that represents another thing to us, and it is the truth, because God is truth. And everything that He speaks is truth. And He speaks of His Word as truth, and He speaks of His Word as light, all the way through the Bible. Let there be light, light, light. Let light precedes all order, because He said, "Let there be light," and then He began dividing things. He began creating order out of the chaos that was there in the beginning. He said, "Let there be light," and then He began separating the waters from the waters. His Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, and He began creating something. But first He said, "Let there be light." Light comes before any manifestation of change, creation, order. You first have to have light before you can have change. You have to have light before you can have order out of your chaos. You have to have light before there can be any new creation. How many of you can say, "I am a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away"? It is because you received light first. God said, "Let there be light," and order began to arise out of chaos. And He says all the way through the Word of God that His truth is light. We're not going to turn there, but in Psalm 119 we read, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's Word is light and it is truth. Jesus comes into the earth realm. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. He is called the living word. He is the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. It says that light has come into darkness, and the darkness could not extinguish it in John 1. And we are called in the Word of God to obey what? The light that we have received. That means the understanding of the Word of God that we have received, that we are to be true and faithful to what we have received from God. The light that we have received. How many of you remember that the Word of God says that before you came to Christ, you were walking in darkness? And He came and He took you out of the kingdom of darkness and of Satan and plugged you into the kingdom of light when you were born again, because you received the light that was present before anything else in the creation story, because the Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus is the very agent of creation, that all things were made by Him, through Him, and for Him. And so when He said, let there be light, Christ was even present there in the very beginning. Christ is light. He is the Word of God. He is the truth of God. When we receive Christ, we receive light. When we receive light, it means we receive His Word. When we receive His Word, it means we are receiving truth. And everything else is error. Your words are truth, and they are light, and they are life. Satan is called the prince of this world. Jesus called him the prince of this world. He is called the God with a little g, the God of this world. He is the prince of darkness. He is the father of lies. He is a thief and a liar from the beginning, Jesus said, because the light of truth is not in him. We are in a war. That's what we've been talking about now for weeks. You are in a war. And this morning, what I want to describe to you is that without light, you cannot fight. You cannot stand against the enemy unless you have the light. Unless you have received light. Light, truth from the Word of God. You'll understand what I mean in a moment, because we are in a war and we need light. And I would say it in a proclamation sort of manner this morning. Oh God, let there be light in the midst of your people. Let there be light in every individual in this house today. Let there be light in your church, because so much of the church has been swallowed up in darkness. Let there be light in our land again. Let there be light that transforms people and takes people out of darkness and brings them into the kingdom of light. When we speak of spiritual warfare, so many of us have been through all of the teachings in the past, and so you have this picture immediately. When we speak of spiritual warfare, and I'm not saying this is wrong, I'm just wanting to give you a deeper foundation. We think of spiritual warfare, and we immediately think of casting out demons or taking authority in the name of Jesus. And all those things, as I have said each week, have their proper place, and we will come to them. But beloved, there is warfare that is constant. It's not that you're every day you're meeting people who need demons cast out of them. It doesn't change the fact that you are always in this war. Satan is always raging over your mind, over your soul, to try to deter you, to try to deceive you, to try to bring you back into places of darkness. And as we have talked about for several weeks, in order that you would compromise in some area of your life, and you would then open up a doorway, you would give him legal ground to have access to some area of your life because you walk in disobedience in some area. You're not walking according to the light that you have received. When you don't walk according to the light that you have received from God, then there is an access point. There's an area where Satan can say, aha, your child, God, is not being true to you in this area, and so I will harass in that area. So we have this picture of casting out demons, but again, warfare is constant. It is the clash. Listen to this, because this is true in every one of your lives. It is the clash between darkness and light It is the clash between truth and error in your own lives. And foundational is this, that your greatest weapon, we're going to go to the classic passage in a few moments about putting on the armor of God, but you will see that undergirding every bit of it, your greatest weapon for standing against the enemy is light. Without light, you cannot fight. So let there be light in the people of God. And so on one hand, we have the extreme. You've all heard stories or even been in churches where you've seen it happen, truthfully, where you've seen a manifestation of a demon. You've seen someone perhaps cast out demons, or maybe you've read stories of these things. And I will tell you about one in a moment. We have those extremes on one hand, but on the other hand, we have everyday warfare, everyday life. Listen to me very closely. A person can walk in a way, a person who calls themselves a believer can walk in darkness and ignore the light of God's word and give access to Satan in areas of their life and can be turned and deceived, and it's never manifested as a demon. But they have come into bondage. They've come into bondage in some area of their life. I don't know how many of you have ever heard the story or would remember the story, but the preacher and pastor Lester Summerall was in Manila, city in the Philippines, many years ago in the early 1950s. The city was recovering from World War II. Things were really bad, but he had planted a church there, a mission work, and the Lord was moving in that work. Well, in the middle of that era, that time, the police in Manila arrested a woman on the streets for vagrancy, in other words, for loitering, for homelessness. Her name was Clarita Villanueva. They arrested her, they put her in jail. And this amazing thing happened as they began to deal with her in the jail cell. She was alone behind bars and locked. And she would scream. She was terrorized by something that was attacking her in her cell, and bite marks would appear on her body, and people would say, oh, well, then she's biting herself. But then bite marks began to appear on her back, the middle of her back, and she would scream, and she would describe these horrible beings that were attacking her. They brought in psychologists, they brought in doctors, they did everything they could to try to tame this woman and to try to help her, but there was no help for Clarita. It was in the newspapers what was happening to this woman and that there was no help for her. Lester Summerall read the story in the newspapers and began to pray. And in time, he went to the jail cell and he said, I believe that the Lord will help her if you will let me see her. And he had fasted, I think, for one day. And he went in and he met with her and he began to try to speak to those forces that were against her and to take authority, and they just were in a war for an entire day. Nothing would give. And he told the prison guards, he said, I need to go home and I need to fast for an extended period of time for several days and come back. So he went away and he came back and he began to speak and the thing began to manifest and he took authority over it very quickly and he told it to leave and it left. And Clarita Villanueva was restored to a right mind, became a productive member of his church. The power of the word and the authority of Christ over demonic things, which are real, are very real, which come about, though, because light has not been received and welcomed and obeyed. In other words, before demons could ever bring this woman into bondage, there was darkness first in her life. There was the absence of the light of Christ. There was some area of ground that Satan held because of disobedience to the word of God, perhaps because of not even knowing Christ and not having even heard the word of God and the light of truth. So that is one type of warfare. But every day in your life, make no mistake about it. Satan's power is real. The enemy's power is real. And you go about your daily life. And in America, because we have placed all of those type things, demonic things, we've put that on the shelf pretty much and said, oh, we're enlightened. We are 21st century people. It's all a psychological issue. And so therefore, Satan has us exactly where he wants us. He doesn't have to manifest the demon in us. We can just believe philosophies that aren't true, and we're just as demonized as somebody else because we have rejected the truth of God's word. Amen. And darkness has had entrance and taken up residence in our life. Every day the issue in your life, every day the issue in your life is light. Whether you have light for that day, for that hour or not. There are other forms of warfare no one would ever call warfare. You remember in 1517 when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church in Germany, Wittenberg, Germany, declaring basically a revolution against the Catholic Church, because for years, all through the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church, the priest had the Bible only in Latin, and it was chained to the pulpit, and the people weren't even allowed to own the Word of God. And there were so many practices that were putting people in bondage. So many rituals and things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. And Martin Luther declared 95 areas of truth against the errors in Catholicism and nailed them to the door. And a revolution began that we call the Protestant Reformation. Yes. And truth, see, it was a war. There was war in the heavenlies. There was war taking place behind the scenes. But God raised up a man who would stand and do warfare, not by taking authority over Satan, but by issuing light, by bringing light back into places of darkness, speaking truth where it needed to be spoken. Yes. Today there is deception and darkness in our land like never before.
Yes.
Because our laws, which are based upon the Word of God, have now been so corrupted and changed. And there's so much corruption in high places. And God is being incrementally pushed further and further and further to the margins. And His people are becoming more and more, receiving more and more hostility from the culture today.
Yes.
That there is such deception and darkness. And as that darkness rises, it plunges a nation into very, very dark places. And every time the enemy comes to you, you may not even recognize who it is. But the issue is over light. The issue is over light. Luke 11, 24 through 26. Now this passage of scripture, if you were to read before it, this passage of scripture is in the context of demons. It is in the context of Jesus having cast out demons and then questions being asked. Verse 24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Many years ago, when we first arrived in Arizona, we dealt with a woman who had many, 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 many issues. And there was a time when I will tell you I was very green and young. I didn't do everything right. But I will tell you that in an evening, there were a number of demons that were cast from that woman. But I learned a great, great lesson in those days. This passage of scripture says that when demons go out, I'm going to paraphrase it because he doesn't use the word light. He just says the house is left empty and clean. They're gone. But if that house is not filled with something good, if it's not filled with truth and light, if it's not filled with the presence of Christ, then those things come back. That thing comes back with sevenfold vengeance. And the state of that person is worse than it was before. So there have been many, many times in the years since that there have been people that were obviously demonized. And the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom to not do anything because they were not ready. They weren't ready to receive Christ. They weren't ready to fill the house. They weren't ready to give up their ways. They weren't ready to close the door to darkness. And if I had done something, if we had cast something out, they would end up worse than they were in the beginning. First, they needed to receive the truth of Christ's gospel, the light of Christ. And so it is empty. The house is empty. It's been, the thing has been cast out and it goes. What is it empty of? The demons are gone, but it is empty of light. It does not have light either. It does not have truth. It does not have the presence of Christ. You see, listen this morning, learn this. We talk about, and some of you may think, I don't know what that means. When Paul says, our weapons are not carnal, they are spiritual. And they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What does that mean? What weapons? Well, we know the weapons in Ephesians 6 that we're going to see. But the most important weapon that you have, and if you're a believer, every one of you possesses this, is light. The light of truth. The light of the Word of God. Everything that you have, any weapon that you can think of this morning, the helmet, the breastplate, all of those things that we'll see, they are all things that are gleaned from the Word of God, from light. From truth. What should be sobering to you as a congregation? What should be sobering to you this morning as a believer? I felt the Lord leading me to share this with you, is that without light from God, let Him speak to you in this moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you in a place where you're filled with truth? Where you're filling yourself with the truth of God, that reservoir within you. You know the Word of God. Or are you basically ignoring the Word of God? What should be sobering is that without light from God, you are subject to deception. You think that you're not. But without the light of the Word of God, you are subject to deception and to vulnerability. In other words, legal access. Where Satan can have ground, and you are subject to spiritual harm. You're subject to things of darkness. If you do not have the light of God's Word resident within you, and what I mean by that is not just memorizing one verse. I would bet that almost everyone in this room say, oh, I know John 3:16. Well, when Satan brings a false philosophy to you, some way of thinking that is popular in this hour, and it sounds so good, you will be tempted to believe all of it or part of it if you do not have the truth of the Word of God, where you have filled yourself, where you know and you have discernment, because you at least have the basics of what the Word of God teaches within the reservoir of your inner man. Some of you this morning are probably in a battle on the inside. Some of you know it, some of you don't. Some of you are in an absolute warfare and you're torn over something. You're torn over some issue. You're torn over something, maybe some temptation. You're torn over some avenue of thought, something that you're thinking of pursuing. Something maybe that you're believing, but you it doesn't sound right. Something's not right, but yet you're so tempted to go in that direction. You're struggling with something about God Himself. And the issue for you is light. You cannot stand without the light of truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want us to look at these real quickly. Verses 10 through 20. Say after me, I cannot fight. Without light.
Without light.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means he has strategies.
Yes.
Wiles are strategies. Don't think that you accidentally fall into some temptation. Don't think that you accidentally encounter something that puts you in turmoil inside. It is a strategic timing and planning of the enemy of your soul. Every single time. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop wrestling with your husband or wife unless it's for fun. Sorry. Stop arguing and wrestling with other people and thinking that everything is somebody else's fault. You need light.
That's right.
You need light on what's understanding concerning what's really happening. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are unseen powers. Against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. In heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Beloved, you will not stand without light. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Truth is what? Light. The very first piece of armor he mentions opens the doorway, because he says, having girded your waist with truth, it continues, it all unfolds out of that one. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have the breastplate of righteousness unless you're walking in the truth of God's word, which means that you're walking in repentance because you're obeying the word of God. You're walking with a repentant heart. Whenever you fall, whenever you stumble, you have a repentant heart. God's washing you clean. You have the righteousness of Christ that is a free gift from God. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is that? It is the word. The gospel is the word, the truth of Christ. It is light. He said, I am the light that has come into the world. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You don't have faith without standing upon the promises that are in God's word. Truth gives way to faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many of you encounter darts from Satan piercing your mind continually? But he says you can withstand them. You can quench them through faith. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet covers the mind, the brain, the head, where truth resides. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every one of these things refers to truth and light. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and being watchful. Everything in here has to do with receiving light from God, covering yourself with it, protecting yourself with it, being able to speak it when necessary, being able to stand upon it against every attack of the enemy of your soul. Notice that Paul is not commanding Satan when he is writing this. Understand that he is a prisoner. If we read a little further, we would see that. He's a prisoner when he writes this. And nowhere do we find him trying to cast Satan out and trying to stand against Satan that his prison cell might open. Now, what is he doing? He's saying that you must walk in all of this warfare and in all of this armor in order that truth might go forward, in order that light might go forward. Read just a little further with me in verse 18. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen to this. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. This is all he's asking. Not freedom from prison. Not that those that are angry against him, that their mouths might be closed because it's satanic. For me, that utterance may be given to me. That means that I may preach and that I may write these letters of truth, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He is praying for utterance to speak the truth of the word of God. Beloved, what I'm saying here is there are priorities in warfare. And the highest priority is that you would be able to speak and utter the truth of the word of God that silences Satan wherever it goes. Warfare is not casting Satan out of your broken TV that it might work. See, you've not been in some of the places I've been. You've not seen some of the things we've seen. Warfare is not casting... You won't understand this one. Warfare is not being in a meeting of spirit-filled believers and casting the spirit of Baptist out of somebody so they can be set free and speak in tongues. Been there, seen that.
Yes.
Can't ever forget it.
Yeah, can never unhear it.
Warfare is standing and fighting spiritually for light to prevail. Amen. For the word of God to prevail.
Amen.
The gospel going forth into all the earth that people might be saved. That is the height of warfare. That Satan's kingdom might diminish and God's kingdom might increase. And it begins in your life. It begins in the interior. That every area of the interior, the inner man, might be taken for Christ, filled with the light of Christ, and all areas of darkness might be removed, might be cast away, and that Christ might reign all in all within your heart, within your soul, your mind, your spirit. In every dark corner where Satan has gained access to your life, you need light from the Word of God to shine. I started this about 4 weeks ago, and I told you, when we talk about warfare, look up here for a moment. This. Not as important as it is, not standing and taking authority and shouting at demons in the name of Jesus. This.
Amen.
The Word of God is powerful.
Amen.
It changes you first. So that you can stand and you can speak truth. And wherever truth is spoken, God's kingdom increases. And Satan cannot stand against the truth of the Word of God. In the wilderness, Satan came to Jesus, as we have already seen. And three times, three areas, he tempted Jesus. And it was a test for Christ as well. Jesus did battle. You all have learned this. How did he do battle? Only by speaking the word of God to Satan. He didn't stand and stamp his foot and shout and say, and how easily he could have as son of God, I take authority over you, Satan. You're a created being and I am the uncreated, eternal son of God. He could have cast him out with a word from his own mouth. Of course, the words that he quoted from the Old Testament were the words of his own mouth. Jesus spoke of warfare regarding the church. And it's one of my favorite passages of scripture. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, what rock? The rock of revelation. The rock of light. The reception of light. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, that came from heaven to you, Peter, not from man. It was a revelation. And he said, where that proclamation of the truth of God is proclaimed, my church will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail over it. Why? Let me ask you this, just so we get all of this in perspective. Why do you think that in communist and Muslim countries, where the church, where it is a great risk for believers to even gather, that people will risk their lives? This isn't a small thing. This is millions of Christians today. That Christians will risk their lives to just get a copy of this word, even if it's one book handwritten in a spiral notebook, passed from person to person. Right. It's still the living word of God. because it speaks truth. They will risk their lives because they cannot fight without light. They cannot stand without the truth, feeding upon the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
In the face of persecution. And in fact, persecution is not about torturing people, though it may happen. Persecution is not about torture and beheading and putting people to death. It is not about the things that we read. It is about the forbidding of truth and light. That's the issue. It is the attempt to stamp out the truth of the Word of God. That is what persecution is. Oh, may the church of Jesus here be filled with light. May your lives be filled with light and truth. You are in a war. It is the most deceptive war we have ever seen, because you really don't think it's happening most of the time. You are in a war. Some of you are in a war over who you are. Some of you, the devil has lied to you all your life, told you you're no good, caused you to think that you've done something to deserve all of the pain and suffering that you've had in your life. Some of you are in a war because you've been reading things that sound so beautiful and sound so good, but they're contrary to the Word of God. And for some of you, you don't know what this says enough to bring light to the war. Have discernment to be able to stand. Paul says we cast down, we demolish the strongholds in our minds, but we don't do it without the Word of God and without light from the Word of God. You're in a war. Jesus said the devil is a liar from the beginning, and he is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. How? By gaining access and keeping you from being filled with the light of truth. By trying to take the place, by trying to usurp some place that the Lord has in your heart. Three things in closing. Three things that the Lord gave me for you for today. He said, number one, to disregard my word is to deny me and to walk in darkness. Listen, let this sink in. To disregard. I didn't say to reject. I didn't say to be an atheist and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it's true. No. The Lord said to disregard my word. What does it mean to disregard it? It just means to ignore it. This is what the Lord gave me. I didn't get this out of a book. This is for you. To disregard my word is to deny me and walk in darkness. And what happens then? You've opened the door for deception. Number two, lack of light. Lack of light leads to confusion. Some of you have so much confusion going on in your mind because light is not being, you're not receiving enough light to push out darkness. So you've got light and dark in there just storming. Because the Bible says darkness can't stand the light. And you've got all of these thoughts going on in your head, and they're just running in all 1,000 different directions. And you've got a double-mindedness, two opinions about everything. And you can't settle down on the truth. It's confusion. And confusion leads to great error. Every area of your life is in need of light. Number three, remember this, that Satan comes first as a serpent to deceive. Then he becomes the roaring lion that devours. He comes as a serpent first, just like he did in the garden. He comes disguised. Satan was disguised in the serpent. And he was appealing. And the words he said were smooth and slick. Satan gets just a little inroad, and you don't know that it's Satan, because the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. Let me tell you something. Everything that looks spiritual to you is not from God. every movie, we've been talking about this lately, every movie that says, oh, I died and went to heaven, and this is what I saw, does not mean it's from God. Especially when they turn around and say later, I made it all up. They've already made a movie about it. People all over the world have seen it. Just because somebody said, I had a near-death experience, and this is what I saw. Most near-death experiences, people come back saying things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. And just in case you're susceptible to these things, just because you said that a UFO abducted you and you came back, every person that's ever claimed that experience comes back teaching New Age things that are contrary to the Word of God. It is a demonic illusion, and it does not happen to born-again believers.
Right.
Satan comes so deceptively to deceive you. But once he gives you some thought that is contrary to the Word of God, it looks like a little jewel. It's so appealing. But it's contrary to the Word of God. And it finds lodging in here. Then it grows because he can add things to it. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago, strongholds are thoughts added to thoughts until there's a fortress. And then he becomes the lion that the Bible says in the New Testament. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't just come and devour you outright first. He first deceives you with a little thing. And then it grows. You need light in order to fight. Now all that I have given you today may be traced through the entire Bible. David standing before Goliath. Daniel in the lion's den. Everything, all the way to the dragon that we talked about in Revelation, seeking to devour believers. How? Through persecution, through starvation, tribulation, disease. All these are just symptoms. It is the issue of light. Beloved, what Jesus said to Simon Peter is true for every one of us. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired or has asked to sift you as wheat. And that's his desire for each one of you. And Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Isn't it great to know you've got our Savior and the Son of God on your side?
Amen.
I have prayed for you. And when you have turned back, when you have repented and turned back, strengthen the brethren. Now, if I were to close by giving each one of you today in here, each one of you a $10 million check, you'd say, we vote you the best pastor in the whole country. And I would say, the tithe belongs to the church. If I gave each one of you a $10 million check today, I know. I don't have to assume. I guarantee you I know how you would act after you jumped and screamed and had a big time. You would not, it would be like this, because you'd be so afraid that something would happen to that piece of paper before you could get to the bank. You'd be like, okay, where am I going to put it just to keep it safe till I get home? And then when I get home, where am I going to hide it till tomorrow when the bank opens? Beloved, I have just given you something worth more than $10 million.
Amen.
Jesus said that the word comes, but so many the devil steals it away immediately. The seed. Or the cares of this life are like the thorns that grow up and choke out the seed, the plant. Will you take the seed of the light and the truth of God's word, and will you guard it? Will you take it home with you today, and will you remember it? Will you put it into good soil in your heart? Let it bring forth something in your life. I believe that we are in a very, very critical time. And if you don't begin to learn to stand for truth now, you won't be able to stand when the times of testing come that are coming. Paul, would you come? Let's stand and close in worship.